This is Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith.
As you just heard, we are sunk so deep in the consumer culture, the economy will crash if we stop. But it will crash anyway, leaving a polluted world drained of natural life. Nobody warns us more clearly than the Reverend Billy Talon and his Church of Stop Shopping choir. We are going straight to Billy's speech at the Chicago Great Lakes Bioneers 2013. This recording was made for Radio EcoShock on November 2nd by Kelly Pierce of the Chicago Independent Media Center. While police waited to arrest Billy for exposing the role of J.P. Morgan Chase Bank financing global climate change, Billy called on the spirit of Hurricane Sandy, the violent storm that nearly drowned New York in late October 2012. This is a brilliant speech. Give it time, and you will be rewarded.
Black Friday officially kicking off the holiday shopping season now, but our next guest is on a quest, if you will, to get everyone to stop shopping now. We spoke with him last year. He's back, Billy Talon of the Church of Life After Shopping, here again with us this morning.
Sandy, we don't know what the hell we're doing. I gotta just level with you. We have no idea what we're doing here. A few weekends ago, thousands upon thousands of natural scientists from around the world issued a report all at once. Like a 5,000 voice scientist choir. They sang to us through the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. The IPCC report came out that first weekend of the General Assembly. Sandy, you should have come through again right then. We needed to hear those people. They are the people that are taking the ice core samples, and they're in the forests getting the pulse of the roots, and they're down in the coral reefs, and they love this planet. Study it all their lives. They got together and they tried to say something to us all at once about the life we're living here, and the life that our children and our grandchildren and the life of all living things, about this wet blue ball whipping around in space with its beautiful, beautiful clouds. Nobody noticed, because Miley Cyrus's ass got in the way. The devil. She had little devil horns, didn't she, when she was twerking, didn't she? Am I right? Or did I just... Is it Halloween? Have I got Halloween on my mind? That wasn't just her. It was John Boehner, too, twerking. He was in the news. Could have been anybody, though. What are you going to do? Those scientists don't know how to speak English. Scientists and diplomats. The two most indecipherable groups of human beings you could come up with. And I got the most important thing to say. The earth had to come through them. The earth was the speaker. It was a message from thousands of one of the earth's sentient beings, a particular one, scientist humans. There was a gathering of most of those very scientists in San Francisco. Bioneerluia, giving each other in some awful carcinogenic hotel somewhere, giving each other papers that only they can understand. But there's one person there who gave a paper that Naomi Klein wrote about, and the name of his paper, as complicated, as complex, with all the computer models and all the samplings around the world, a completely complex, learned piece of research by this, I think his name was Werner, Dr. Werner from San Diego. And it was just that the name of his paper was, "Is Earth..." And then he had a subtitle too. But he didn't dare. The U and the C and F were asterisks, probably deep down, just a little bit bashful. Didn't want to say the word. And yet I can't seem to say it enough. Amen, praise be. Because I'm that kind of preacher. And then it had a subtitle, Dynamic Futility of Global Environmental Management and Possibilities for Sustainability via Direct Action Activism.
This is Radio EcoShock. You are listening to the Reverend Billy Talon's sermon on direct action to save the planet.
So here we have a scientist who's made a completely dispassionate scientist-like review of all the life systems of the entire Earth. And he has determined that, as far as he can tell, everything's past the critical point on every level. It's all speeding up towards the apocalypse, except there is a kind of life agent on the planet Earth that has, in years past, sometimes elicited behavior which has changed cultural and economic systems such that survivability may be possible. And he calls these people or groups of people who adopt a certain set of dynamics that does not fit within the capitalist culture, which includes environmental direct action resistance taken from outside dominant culture, as in protests, blockades, and sabotage by indigenous peoples. Work. I read that wrong. I'm sorry, Bill. I read that wrong. It's just sabotages by itself. Any one of us is capable of it. And then indigenous peoples are at the top of a list of types of people who are capable of these protest, blockades, and sabotage, including workers, activists, anarchists? Too much anarchy in my handwriting to recognize my own my own name. Amen. Let's not go there. We need to, and we've heard it again and again in the commonality of every meeting of any people here, speakers sitting at a table together, flirting with each other, as I've witnessed many of you doing. I want you to know that the NSA is watching, but also preachers are watching as well. We know that sex among the environmentalists is very good. Praise. The one thing that I keep hearing again and again at all of our meetings throughout the weekend is, what are we going to do that is more than this? We're talking. What are we going to do that is more than this? Naomi Klein gloried in her essay, which has 41,000 likes on Facebook. She gloried in talking about scientists coming together and talking about something else has to happen. What is that? They don't know what that is. They can't find it in the natural world. They look across all of the systems, and they end up looking at us, expecting us to do something. And then that's where the conversations have gotten. Hey, is anybody recognizing what I'm saying? I've just been spying on you. I've been like going in and out of the conversations, listening to you. You're getting to that something point. It's like everybody in this conference is holding hands and like we're going to the edge of the cliff. You know, like that one chapter at the end of that one chapter in The Separate Reality, you know, where they go to the edge of the cliff and then you're supposed to, you know, be so high on ayahuasca that you don't care or something, you know. Sandy, we know what you did. You killed some of us. You saved a lot of us. You got commercial politicians to say in a presidential campaign the phrase climate change. You did that. It was something, really something to watch. It was a kind of bitter comedy. It was like Ionesco. It was like Beckett. It was. Remember, they all said the word climate change in one 24-hour period. They all, it came up through them like vomiting. Like, climate change. Sandy, something's happened to us, Sandy. You are our model. We have our favorites. We have our Sandra Steingrabers. We have our Tim DeChristophers. We have our favorites. But we really don't have Sandys. We don't have a Hurricane Sandy. We don't have a Nelson Mandela for the weather. We have a crisis of leadership in the world that is utterly baffling, as the physical systems give all the evidence they can to us that they're in a state of general degradation. Nobody from any nation state has really stepped up to talk about it. Not really. Chancellor Merkel might like get into a special like duffel bag suit and like walk on a glacier somewhere for a photo op. That's about it. And she's been reelected again forever. Amen. We visibly, we viscerally, we clearly do not have it right now. Do not know what we're doing, Sandy. We are lost. We're a little group of people here. If the earth is veering off into some unknown territory that is going to radically change my daughter's life, why are there so few of us in this room right now? Sandy, it looks to me like we are uniquely disqualified from action. We're walking in this strange society where thousands upon thousands of products are talking to us every day. And they're fronted by handsome young people who are looking us in the eye as if we're just about to have great sex or something. Thousands of advertisements. We're in a mental environment that is so torturous. The products come out of our past and they get into our future, and then they say, do you want a good future? And then they jump into our present, and then we're broke. It's a process that goes on all day long. It's consumer society, and it makes us uniquely, it deletes the possibility of direct action against that. We cannot think outside of products right now. Products is a way of thinking. It's a way of life. It is so invisible. It is so, no, we're normal life. We're democracy. Come on, do what you want. What do you want? 17 different kinds of butterfat for your milk? Yes. Amen. We are in a strange kind of life here. It's just so strange. And it is dedicated at every moment to appearing to be so normal. So normal. Built into every consumer experience is that adjustment to normality. Finding the normal in you. You know, we're finally coming to the result of permitting the big corporations to give psych grads their first year out of Stanford or Harvard, giving them six-figure incomes their first year when they're 24 years old. And then they study, they become millionaires, and they study our desires, the mechanic of our desires, for decades. And that's been going on since the 50s. And we're finally coming to the logical extreme. It's coming into our life finally. That other group of people knows so much about what we, I've got desires all over my body, you know, and I know that as I discover them, I'm getting there late. The NSA/Google/Procter & Gamble has already been there. Come on in. Welcome. This is Billy. This is your desire. Yeah, you want to itch your right kneecap? Here it is. Yay. Amen. There you go. Hallelujah. You'll have to pay me for that. Amen. It's okay. You can just, you know, PayPal's fine. Sandy, how to break out of that? It's interesting that we keep saying the phrase direct action, because we say it with a sense of longing, because we know we can't be direct. And we think that Sandra was, we think Tim was. We know that Dr. King was. We know that Malcolm was. We see people in the civil rights movement. We know they were. We see people in the gender rights, in the American Indian movement, in the women's, in the labor, in the, all the social movements that gave us the freedom in which we're walking right now every second of our lives. That cluster of social forums that we're still living on, right? But now we have to do it. We can't be nostalgic about those social movements anymore. We have to do it. We have to use what's left of the freedom that they gave us with their martyrdom, amen? Because lots and lots of folks died. Now we've got to turn around and say, all right, some of us are going to die. We're going to have to discover what direct means. I just thought of how weird it is. Savitri, my partner, she stood up in a Starbucks and said the word Starbucks. And she got kicked out of Starbucks. She said it too loud. How strict the choreographies for our behavior are right now in this country. When it's called democracy and freedom all the time, we must find a way to be direct. For a long time, going into Starbucks and learning the edges of what they allowed was something that we did, because they pretend they're cafe society. They pretend they borrow their power from Zurich after World War I, 100 years ago. Well, what were they doing in the Cabaret Voltaire? Not having a little buzz so that you can, like, talk yourself into, like, watching a Meryl Streep movie. No. They were saying, we've been slaughtered, and we will continue to slaughter one another if we don't start culture over completely. They started language over. Have you ever heard tapes of the language from the Surrealists, the Dadaists in Cabaret Voltaire, that era? They were starting language over. They would go and have an experience, and they would have a response, and it couldn't be an old language. You're giving me a feeling. I'm getting something from you. This is an ecosystem of people. Now, if my American English is just too damn indirect, maybe I should... Was that Japanese sounding, or was that Danish? What was that? I know that what we're doing here in this conference is we're giving each other an assignment to do more, to do something beyond what we've been doing. We've all been thinking about what that might be. How much risk will we take? In the Church of Stop Shopping, we've been going into J.P. Morgan Chase banks. Chase, the top financier of climate change in the world. They're in the news every day for other things that they did that were mistakes. And their payout, their penalty is zooming up towards $15 billion. But I don't see any news accounts. I don't see anything about the Nirmagiri Hills in the East India. I don't see anything about the bauxite mines. I don't see anything about the gold mines. I don't see anything about the Cerrejón open pit coal mine in Colombia that displaced 28 indigenous villages. I don't see this rampaging bank, which used to be the Rockefeller Fossil Fuel Bank, it still is. I don't see anything about what they're doing in the world. But then I do see in the news the results of the fires in Australia. I see one end of the report, but I don't see the financing of it. In fact, people don't think that banks have anything to do with climate change. And for some reason, banks are wrapped in a sort of giant consumer bubble wrap castle or something. They're not supposed to. The banks actually went to an HSBC the other day. A bunch of researchers in London were on the phone with us. They say, hit your local HSBC bank. Because my lawyer doesn't like me to talk that way. He says, don't say hit the bank, okay, Billy? Don't say hit the bank. Okay. Call it direct action. Call it, don't say you're going to hit the bank, okay? But HSBC is also up there on the list near Chase. Chase is kind of in a class by itself, but HSBC is up there. And they have on the wall in the East Village, HSBC, they have their environmental statement. And we went in there dressed as extinct toads, golden toads killed by the blast furnace of weird hot weather coming into their cloud forest ponds from the Gulf of Mexico in the 80s. So we came in there with toad masks and the choir singing, and we're dancing on the desks and handing out information. But what we ended up doing was just reading this greenwashing Declaration of Independence. And HSBC is saying to all its customers, we're the first major bank that is carbon neutral. What they're saying is, our buildings, our cars, our jets, they're saying the billions of dollars that we give to corporations that then lay waste to Western Canada, oh, that's just our money. That's not us. But the fact is that the ruination of our earth right now is by companies that are cash starved. The top 50 fracking corporations are all in debt. Banks are their business partners. But we don't think about the banks, do we? What? All I can say is it's got to be one of those mysterious things where the product comes out of the past into the future, entices you forward, comes into your present, inhabits your body. There's an automatic enticing amnesia going on with their hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars of advertising money that they're the last people taking out full page ads in the newspapers. They're keeping some of the print editions alive right now. BP and their Gulf ads. How much money have they spent there?
This is Radio EcoShock. You are listening to the Reverend Billy Talon's sermon on direct action to save the planet.
So we just went to court Monday. So the city of New York, and this assistant DA calls herself the people, you know, takes it right out of the Declaration of Independence, the people. The people want 1 year of imprisonment for Mr. Talon, William Talon, and 6 months for Mr. Nehemiah Luckett, who got nabbed with me. We were arrested running away from Chase, the Chase Bank, on the subway platform. Talk about regretting that the F train is late. You know what I mean? You're looking at your watch, and there they are. You know, they're running up the platform, and you're like... And so my lawyer says, wait a minute, this is 15 minutes of performance art, political performance art. And this man was a legitimate mayoral candidate just a few years ago. He got 5% of the vote. This is art. And then the DA says, this is a criminal stunt. And then my attorney says, art, crime, art, crime, art. And Nehemiah and I are going like, art, crime, art, crime, art, crime. Yeah. Do you think that's direct action? All right, then you go to jail for me. I don't think anybody knows what it is right now. I don't think that Tim or Sandra would tell you that they know what direct action is right now. We know that in our country, real change from those social movements that I just mentioned, those real change that has helped us, that has saved lives, that has distributed income, that has given us human rights, real change has always involved some of us losing our lives, a lot of us losing our freedoms, a lot of us scarred for the remainder of our lives. That has been something that's common to all the social forms in American culture. And so while our pioneers meeting here over these last few days with these brilliant leaders talking to us and researchers among us, and we were coming up to the edge of the cliff together holding our hands, we know this. We're educated people. We've studied those social movements. Some more than others, but they have a commonality, and that is that risk. And we're not doing that yet, are we, really? And we have a knowledge, we have an intuitive knowledge of those social movements, that they were very strange when they happened. Look back at Dr. King now, and it looks so grand. It's like a Bible story. Bull Connor and the hoses and Pettus Bridge and everything. You just look back at it, and it's writ in our canon, isn't it? At the time, it was utterly strange, utterly weird. We have some people of a certain age here, even as old as me, and you don't dye your hair like I do. And you know that those people talk about how weird it was at the Pettus Bridge March. Dr. King didn't exactly know what to do. He comes to us like George Washington, like he always knew what to do. He was confused. He said, let's sit down. He didn't know exactly. Malcolm, trying out different religions, trying out different cultures, like with several different kinds of gangs trying to kill him, blowing up his house, running away with his family, the FBI not protecting him. I mean, how strange the gender rights movement is. When you have a nation that doesn't recognize death among a certain number of people as having any story in it, and it doesn't come from anywhere, it doesn't go anywhere. People who are gays don't have feelings. And so you think of things that you can do. Blankets that are three city blocks long with the names of all the dead. Or taking the ashes of an AIDS-killed friend and going up into one of those bureaucratic buildings and dumping them on the desks of the people who should have been responsible for that person. Weird. Weird. Our crashing through as eco-warriors isn't going to be some kind of Wendell Berry-blessed, logical, organic Subaru, you know? It's going to be very weird for us, very strange for us. It might be like starting a new kind of personal language. We might have things coming up out of our bodies that we don't recognize. Each of us is carrying around hundreds of native stories in us. Amen. Our stories. Hallelujah. They've been changed. Our access to our own stories has been changed radically by the mental environment of the big corporations. If we become direct in our actions in our communities and take risks that are different for us, it may be that our whole balance inside, our psychological balance, those stories might come rushing up. Stuff from when we were kids might just come rushing up. Hello, hello, Billy, I'm back. Because the corporations consciously know how to turn the volume down. Don't let them have stories from their past that might leave them able to be direct and outmaneuver product life. Oh, it's a time for us to be strange. Sandy, You were strange. Sandy, you're talking to us. The best message, the clearest message, the strangest message is coming from the earth. It's coming from a little bird in the bush in our front yard. It's coming from disasters that kill us. But you're talking to us, Earthaluyah. You're talking to us. I want to say that we're grateful that you're talking to us. Some of us will pass away. Some of us will live. But the reason that we will do the extra thing, that we will fly off the E at the end of the word change and go into space together, that we will embrace that weirdness, is because we know that ultimately that is what the earth is asking us to do. Because the earth is in us. We are made of nothing but the earth. The earth is in us. And sometimes we don't get to talk to that part of ourselves that is the earth. But now that part of ourselves has got to come up. It's got to come up. We've got to feel the beat. Feel the beat of the earth in us. Feel the music of the earth in us. And we've got to know when all the products are giving us the wrong signal. When all the authority figures, with guns without guns, are all shaming us, are telling us, threatening us, telling us about jail, telling us about personal risk. When all that is happening, we see a chance to be direct, to be that systems obligatory action agent that Dr. Werner said we could be. When we get that chance, and it's that weird gesture, each of us in this room will be called upon to do this. Each of us will go off the edge. Each of us is going to get to that point in a different way. Some of us are going to force it. And some of us are going to wait 10 years, and some of us are going to do it in the next 5 minutes. It's going to be different for different people. And then maybe a large group of us will decide that we have to do this together. We have to have solidarity this time. But it's going to be counterintuitive and dangerous, and we're going to look in each other's eyes and maybe say goodbye. It's going to be, we're going to die. We're going to have to be willing to die for life. We have to be life that risks death. That's what life is. Consumerism tries to teach us that death is not a part of life. You can fill that confusion, fill up that hole with another purchase. That's what they keep saying. That is why the number one fundamentalist church in the United States is doesn't come from people dressed like me. It comes from the corporations and their consumerism. That controls our behavior more than the Roman Catholic Church in the 1300s. And breaking out of that, we have to support each other. We have to be willing to be strange. We have to be willing to be uncomfortable to each other. Somebody might not take a shower for a while. Amen. Blake, I'm not talking about you. I'm sorry. The next time there's a Chicago Pioneers, let's all be here. Let's look back on what we did with those 51 weeks. And some of us won't be here. Some of us will be in jail. Some of us may have died. But maybe we'll be able to say some things about the progress, about a direct communication from Sandy, and a direct action coming from the earth inside of us. Maybe we'll be able to say some things to each other about what happened in these 51 weeks that put ourselves in a new level of strange intelligence than we have right now. I feel like we're all being intuitive right now. I think we're all making it up and kind of going for it, but we need more. We need more earth. Next year. Earthaluyah next year. Earthaluyah next year. Earthaluyah. Amen. Let's hold hands here. Let's have a prayer now. Let's hold hands. Sandy, thank you for being with us here today. Thank you for blowing your wind through our bones and blood, across the crackling electricity of our minds. Thank you for releasing stories out of our legs, out of the inner recesses of our closeted minds that will make it possible for us to be stronger warriors for you. We've been working this weekend for the earth, finding more and more earth in ourselves. Be with us and protect us, but let us follow that vision, that direct action vision over the next 51 weeks. We know you'll be with us, and we will be with you too. Earthaluyah. Thank you.
That was the Reverend Billy Talon. He's a New Yorker who works with talented artists and activists in the Church of Stop Shopping Choir. As you heard, Billy uses fundamentalist-style preaching, but this time to convert us from the consumerism that is wasting this planet. This talk in front of a small group of pioneers was recorded by Kelly Pierce of the Chicago Independent Media Center for Radio EcoShock. Thank you, Kelly. Right after his speech, Billy was arrested for his group's protest at the J.P. Morgan Chase Bank. As Billy says, these banks hide behind a cloak of respectability and power, while they loan out money to coal plants, dangerous oil drilling, and a host of projects that are wrecking the planet for all future generations. Now, you may think Russia is punishing Greenpeace activists, the Arctic 30, with crazy, overblown charges like piracy, and they are. What about America, where authorities and authoritarianism keeps us all inside these tight little boundaries, carefully set by corporate psychology and power? The alleged American democracy wants Billy and his crew to spend a year in horrible prison for appearing as extinct frogs in a bank branch. A little group of artists singing and dancing in a bank branch are being charged with a riot. Really? Is the system that fragile, that endangered, that even a peep of protest means prison? For every man and woman thrown into jail by these zealous protectors of corporate crime, let another 1,000 step forward. As Billy tells us, nothing real has been accomplished for America or anywhere else in civil rights, gender equality, or anything else without direct activists willing to face jail or even death. What greater cause is there than trying to pass on a living planet to our children and grandchildren? Go to RevBill.com, RevBill.com, to find out how you can help. For one thing, you can purchase the movie What Would Jesus Buy? Or the CD featuring some of the Church of Stop Shopping choir music that I'm playing in today's program. The Reverend has moved me today. Let him move you too. We can't wait for our Nelson Mandela or Martin Luther King to show up. The planet is wasting. Each of us need to join or to make a movement where we are. I'm Alex Smith. Find links for this program and the show blog at ecoshock.info. You can help Radio EcoShock at our website, ecoshock.org. Pass out free MP3s that you download from our website. Join the growing number of celebrities, local shakers, and scientists who are speaking out. Become an Earth activist. Earth-alleluia.
Check out the Radio EcoShock website. We're at ecoshock.org.